Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhymes record break neck spines and vertebrae, simple and plain like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
Let's try this again. Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, welcome to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax, one of your hosts. And we had some technical difficulties with the first part of the program, trying to figure out what the problem is, reloaded the old browser, so to speak, here on Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully you're catching this and able to get the show going in a straighter direction. It sounds like we finally fixed the issue. I'm going to bring my co-host Brandon Connor in here. Brandon, I got to tell you, technology is just, it's amazing how it connects us, but it is also the absolute worst at the same time.
It really is. The technology tonight's been about as good as that Grizzly Suns game yesterday.
Yes. Yes, it has. It has been just about that bad, but that's okay. We've got it straight now. Thank you so much for joining us. We don't even need to pretend. We can just pretend the first part didn't even happen. This is the real show. This is the one that you're tuning into. Probably shouldn't have even mentioned it, but hey, we're not professionals. I'm Joe. That's Brandon. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Ways to get in touch with the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. You can follow me at Joe Molinax. Follow Brandon at Ball From Grace. And you can follow our guest this evening at ASAP Rocky Top, one of the very best Twitter handles out there. Let's get right to it. We're already a little bit behind because of the technical difficulties. So as Brandon alluded to, the Grizzlies are super bad. They won what I dubbed Tankapalooza 2018. I was watching semi-pro later or earlier on today, and it made me think of the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl. I wish I had thought of that last night, the Memphis, Tennessee Mega Bowl between Phoenix and Memphis. And the Grizzlies won and lost. They lost the actual game. But, of course, they improved their lottery standing and have shown to be real contenders for that number one spot. Some people were happy about that. Some were not. And we'll continue to discuss that and the overall pulse of the fan base. Myself, Brandon, and our guest. He is a Grizzly Bear Blues senior writer. Excited to have him on the show. I've never had the opportunity to actually pronounce this, so I hope I do it right. Ross Girard? Did I get it, Ross?
Hey, whoa. Yes, you did.
I got
Thank
it.
You, Brandon.
Yes. Excellent. I'll take it. Ross, it's so good to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on. For those of you that follow us on Twitter, Jeff Calkins was going to be on, but he had a scheduling conflict. Ross was so good to step up, and we're very excited to have you on the program tonight, bud.
Oh, it's the same thing. There's no difference inside.
I will say that it's kind of your fault, it feels like, that we're having these technical difficulties. Like, this happens when you come on the show, so... This might be the last time we have you on.
Like, oh, no, that's grand opening, grand closing. That's fine.
Well, thanks for coming on. Like I said, I'm glad we got this figured out, and we can move into something that is most certainly not going to be figured out anytime soon. That is the current state of the Memphis Grizzlies. Tankapalooza 2018, the Memphis Grizzlies fall to the Phoenix Suns. They now have lost 11 games in a row. They had a winless month of February. Everybody was tweeting out the various numbers and statistics that went along with the Grizzlies losing, you know, arguably or sustaining the worst loss of the season for them. Ross, I just kind of want to get your take on the idea, and I think I know where you stand on this. Did Memphis win last night, or did they lose? Was that a win for the Grizzlies or a loss?
That was a mega win. If we win out the rest of the year, we're going to go 40-42, so might as well just lose out, because that doesn't really do us any good. That's such a huge win, especially with how – or huge loss, rather, because of how congested the lottery is. According to Tankathon, which has been my significant other during the season. There are six teams just a half game back of the number one spot. Luckily, Memphis is one of them, so each loss against one of those other teams helps our cause.
It makes sense, but so many people continue to have issues with that. I mean, what's your thought on, like, Chris Vernon, for example? And, Brandon, I'll get your take on this, too. And I respect Chris a good bit, and he's somebody who now with Grind City Media, I think he kind of gets a bad rep. He's kind of viewed as an extension of the organization, and obviously when you work for the Grizzlies, that makes sense. But he's also done things that have been pretty even-handed when it comes to the coverage of the Grizzlies, at least on his podcast. He is very much against the idea of tanking, quote-unquote, and Jeff Calkins has said, you know, Memphis is also just kind of really bad. The Grizzlies aren't helping their cause. I pointed out that Ben McLemore started last night. And any game that Ben McLemore starts at this point is a game you're clearly trying to lose. When you look at the culture of this young team, and it is a young team. Marc Gasol is one of the oldest players on it, if not the oldest. I'd have to double-check that now with Brandon Wright being gone. But he's one of the oldest players. He's a veteran, and he obviously is not excited about the direction where things are going. We'll talk more about Mark here in a little bit, but I'm curious, Ross, are you worried about this losing culture idea that Chris Vernon floats out? Because I'll be honest, I, as a coach, a former athlete myself, I think there is something to that. I don't know how relevant it is in professional sports, but at the same time, you know, you have a bunch of young players. If they get used to losing, it can be contagious. I mean, the Phoenix Suns are a pretty decent example of that.
Right. Like, the Suns, the Kings, like, they've been so bad for so long that is a losing culture. But, like, I don't think that if we were to just kind of tank out this year because we're already so far down the standings, like, just get the best draft pick and then try again next year with healthy Conley, hopefully a motivated Gasol, if they decide to bring back Tyreek for anything worthwhile contract-wise, like, we could still be a playoff team next year. This was just a year from hell. Like, this team is not very talented at all outside of Conley, Gasol, and Evans. So it's really all interchangeable. Like, even if this does breed a losing culture with, like, the young guys, like, I'm fine if these young guys aren't actually our foundational pieces. Like, Rab and Deonta Davis are my two favorite, but I don't think they're going to be, like, franchise-altering guys, and I don't think having one bad year is going to really, like, spoil them or spoil how Memphis is looked at around the rest of the league. Firing David Fizdale 10 games into the year will probably do it, but I don't think about not tanking would do it.
What do you think about that, Brandon? How do you, because I know you've had your own takes on the Grind City Media folks, how do you kind of perceive Vernon's concern about that loser's mentality, so to speak, kind of developing?
I mean, I get where he's coming from. You don't want to, like, instill the idea that it doesn't matter if you win or lose and that competing, you know, isn't a good thing. But to go back to what Ross has said, and I think Chris Harrington's talked about the same thing, this is 1 year in the middle of a seven-game, you're right at the end of a seven-game playoff streak. And you've been a competitive team for a while. You've kind of instilled something of a winning culture. I don't think you can destroy all that goodwill, whether it's with the fans or in terms of winning culture, in one season. I don't think these guys, like Ross said, they don't have a lot of talent outside of Mike and Mark and Tyreek and, you know, Chandler Parsons when healthy. There's just not a lot of starter level talent on the team right now, and you have to develop that by playing the young guys minutes, and they're bad, and so you're going to be bad. But I don't necessarily think that doing that is the way to build a losing culture. You have to be bad for a long time. You have to see, I mean, shutting down Mark, managing Mark's minutes is a lot different than, you know, shutting down your best players at the end of the season just to pick up a few more losses. So I think there are ways to manage the situation and manage the tank so that you're not, you know, building a losing culture. And I don't think if you do that and you try to, you know, keep the situation in hand while also putting your best foot forward in terms of trying to get that long-term centerpiece, which is what you're trying to do in this draft. I think if you do that and you kind of manage it without just sort of completely submarining every chance, every opportunity to win. Like if you shut down Mark, I don't think that would necessarily be best for the, in the long-term interest of the team, whether it's from, you know, Mark's expectations of being a player or just the young guys. Because Mark needs to be out there at least on a night-to-night basis, not necessarily playing 30 minutes, but being out there to help mentor the young guys. I think you can do those sorts of things to sort of manage expectations without, you know, submarining your culture and blowing it up while also helping your draft stock.
We'll talk more about Mark here in a minute. Sorry to cut you off. I'm just really curious as to what the end game is here, and we'll talk more about JB Bickerstaff towards the end of the podcast. But if you look at this organization and you look at where they're at in terms of talent, and I agree with what you've been saying, Brandon and Ross, not a ton of talent there, a lot of second-round guys. There's a reason they were second-round picks, a lot of them. They were raw, there were issues. Dylan Brooks has athleticism concerns. All these things kind of play out as you watch the season unfold. My concern, Ross, is that next year it's going to be another year older Marc Gasol. It's going to be Tyreke Evans. A vast majority of his career is not what he is right now. He's a decent player, but he's not dominant, or he's not able to take over games. You know, he had his rookie season and he has this year, and those 2 years bookend what has been a above average career. That might be nice. You know, middle of the road might be a fair way to put it. So even in theory, let's say that you re-sign Tyreke Evans to the mid-level exception, which I don't think is a guarantee, but let's say you do. You bring Marc Gasol back. You have Chandler Parsons playing 25 minutes a night, hopefully. You got Mike Conley back. Is Dylan Brooks your starter still? Are you drafting Michael Porter Jr., as a lot of the mock drafts have the Grizzlies doing now, and hoping that he can kind of be that bridge that Parsons was supposed to be? What makes you think, Ross, that this team can really kind of rebound and be that 6-seed, 7-seed contender in 2018, 2019? I'm starting to have my doubts, regardless of who the coach is.
Oh, no. I mean, you could definitely have your doubts, but like you said, like, you can probably count on just one hand the actual, like, legitimate talents on this team, and one of those is going to be a draft pick that we don't even know actually has talent. So that's going to be fun. But, the worst-case scenario, Marc Gasol is going to come off the books 2019. So even if we do have all just those five guys and we just try it for that year, like, we can just let him walk if it ends up being so horrible that you don't want to end up re-signing a 34- or 35-year-old center to another big deal. They could have kept Zach Randolph. They could have kept Tony Allen. They just let them walk, even though – they're obviously legends in Memphis. I don't think they're going to have too much of a problem moving on from Mark if that's the case. But like I said, like, it doesn't really hurt them to try next year. Like, you still would have Conley, who's not coming out of the gate with a heel injury that just messes up everything. And Tyreke Evans coming back, maybe he stays healthy for a whole year. But I don't think that's happened since maybe his rookie year. So, yeah, he's played – it's good radio. 60 games, or I'm sorry, 114 games in the last 3 years. And I have no idea about this rib injury. It seems super weird because I've never seen a non-contact rib injury before. But if he's just shut down for the season and you want to depend on him for next year, even though he's only played 100 games, sure. Like, it's not going to really hurt us in the long run because Gasol's likely gone. Conley will definitely be gone after his contract just because what his age will be at the time. I think he still has three more years after that. So, I don't know. Like, I still would like them to try at least next year, but if they just have a fire sale, this would be the time to do it.
Ross, we've kind of, over the course of the season, Marc Gasol's been in the headlines quite a bit more for what he's done off the court. Obviously the big one is the coach Fizdale, the comments that wound up getting Fizdale fired, but he's also, you know, he's had the Marc Gasol summit where he kind of gave his thoughts his most recent comments are a little troubling. He stated that this isn't the NBA isn't here to develop players. You have the G League for that. What are your thoughts on his most recent comments? Do you think there was, is there any chance they were taken out of context? Do you worry about him demanding a trade? And what are your thoughts on him? Do you think it's time to move on? And do you think Mark is ready to move on?
Like I said, because of that, like his contract expiring after next year, I wouldn't mind if we just kept him like we did Tyreek, just because of he is an all-star. He can be an all-star when he's motivated. I don't think he'd be any sort of motivated this year, which based on his comments, doesn't really look like he is. I'm not too worried about him demanding a trade specifically because I think, like I said, after the Fizdale situation, even though he got his way, it still became a hellhole of a team and of roster and playing situation. And the Grizzlies didn't even listen to trade offers, according to reports. So I don't think he'll ever demand that trade. I think it might just be one of those situations where it's like, yeah, it's probably best if we both move on if they decide to do that in the offseason. But if they go full steam ahead, I don't think they would trade him midseason next year. I think it would be either this offseason or they're just going to ride it out with him and see where the end of the season takes them.
You don't see sort of an opportunity. I think kind of where I am, I'd like to see him run it back with the new draft pick next year. And then if things have gone really, really poorly next year, maybe starting to field offers. Do you see that as a possibility, or you pretty much said if they get through this offseason with him, they're probably just going to ride out the contract?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, Chris Wallace couldn't even bring himself to trade Tyreek Evans for a young prospect and a second rounder. Like, seems like five or six teams are offering, apparently. And he still wouldn't do it with no connection or anything like that. And I think the loyalty the front office and the organization has shown towards Mark, I mean, they fired David Fizdale for him. They kind of, you know, I don't see a reason to do that if you're just going to trade the player a year later anyway. I don't think the Grizzlies would be even like looking to trade him, even if it does end up going off the rails next year. I would just be worried that it's just going to be sulking on the sidelines or sulking running back on defense. And then if that's the case, we could get another top draft pick, which we probably don't have because Chris Wallace traded it. But we'll see.
Joe, can you kind of give your thoughts on Mark and recent comments and kind of what your expectations are for the team with him moving forward?
Well, I mean, the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day. By the way, we're giving away tickets on the podcast here. We'll be doing that at the end of the show to the game on Friday. Early on, I was afraid we weren't going to be able to give them away. That's how hot the Grizzlies tickets are in Memphis right now. But anyway, the question of the day that was connected to the ticket giveaway was, should the Grizzlies try to trade Marc Gasol this offseason? The options were, yes, they must move on, only for an awesome offer, and no, we need him next year. And I think this is actually one of the more fairly reasonable responses to a Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day poll we've had since we went the poll route with these questions. So well done, the 100 of you that voted. 27% said yes, they must move on, so they're done with Mark, they're over it. 42%, the leading vote getter, said only for an awesome offer, and 31% said, no, we need him next season. So a vast majority, 73% of Grizzlies fans, at least that participated in this poll, feel that unless, you know, it's for something that really knocks your socks off, which they probably won't get anymore, as you guys kind of mentioned, Mark's here. And I think that that's going to be the way that it plays out. I foresee him opting out in 2019, and I see them going their separate ways there. Unless Mark asks for a trade, which he has said he's not going to, I don't think they're going to trade him. They're not going to get equal value for him. He's easily in the Tony Allen, Zach Randolph area now of he's worth more to Memphis than he would be to somebody else. Nobody, like Cleveland's not going to give up Kevin Love for Marc Gasol straight up. I don't know why they would, at least. I wouldn't make that trade if I was Cleveland. Boston's not going to do Horford for Gasol. I think I saw Matt Moore tweet out, mate, I think it was him, Kyle Anderson, Pau Gasol in the Spurs first round pick. Is that worth it? Like, do Grizzlies fans want Kyle Anderson? I don't think so. I don't. The Spurs first round pick is almost certainly going to be 25th to 30th, and you thought you could get that value for Tyreek. So I don't know. I think, well, I do know, actually. I believe that Mark is going to be here for the long term, in terms of at least through next season. So the logic behind Chris Wallace and the Grizzlies front office wanting to run it back, I mean, you look at the way they've structured their contracts, aside from Conley and Parsons, the rest of this team is, you know, essentially on a team option, player option. You know, it's very possible there's two or three dudes on this roster in the summer of 2019. And, you know, they could be players in free agency. There could be a lot of different directions that they go. I do think they'll try it one more time. It makes sense that they would keep Tyreek Evans if that's their hope. They're hoping to bring Evans back. They logically think that Evans being the second or third best player on a roster with Conley and Gasol, hopefully Parsons can give you something, 25 minutes a night of decent basketball, which is better than what any other wing on the Grizzlies right now, except for maybe Dylan Brooks, can give you. They're assuming that that team can make the playoffs. And I think that there's potential there, but at the same time, it comes down to coaching as well. And I wrote an article earlier this week for the site, and then Mike Wallace of Grind City Media also put out an article a couple days later talking about J.B. Bickerstaff. Obviously, he hasn't been extended yet. They're not going to extend him until after the season, if they extend him at all. He's going to hold on to that interim tag the rest of the way. Mike Wallace kind of, you know, argues that he thinks J.B. Bickerstaff shouldn't be judged by wins and losses. I agree with him to an extent, Ross. I think that there is something to that with JB. He obviously has a pretty broken roster. But at the same time, you look at players like a Ben McLemore, you look at other younger players on this team, and the overall unit as a whole, and he hasn't been able to get them to kind of unify. There hasn't been a ton of team development. Andrew Harrison has improved. Deontay Davis has shown flashes. But this team, you know, for the past year, obviously dating back to when Fizdale was at the helm, they just haven't been a good basketball team. They're like 25-56 or something like that record-wise, literally in the calendar year from March 1st, 2017 to March 1st, 2018. They've just been a really bad basketball team. And maybe this is who they are. And they should have gotten out when they had the chance this summer with Zach and Tony being gone. Maybe that was your opportunity to move off of Mark. Maybe take offers on Mike, depending how frisky you felt, and really go all in on this thing. But they didn't make that decision. They, as you guys talked about, chose Gasol over Fizdale. And now you're in a place where you have to figure out who's going to run the day-to-day operations of this team. Oh, by the way, your ownership situation is crazy, as Jack Noonan and Mark King of our own GrizzlyBearBlues.com wrote about recently, kind of giving an update with Robert Pera and his ownership stocks and Ubiquity and being investigated by the SEC. And there's so many different whirling winds flaring around this team that, oh, by the way, sorry, JB, do your best to win. You know, that was kind of the theme of my article. Coaching is something that you kind of grind yourself down to the nub for, and he's done that. And I think he's earned an opportunity to show what kind of a coach he is, but he hasn't had that chance in Memphis. And I'm not sure he's ever going to. I don't know if that's fair to him or not, but it's kind of just the reality of the situation. Do you agree with that, Ross?
Oh, yeah. Like, no matter what he does, the second Fizdale got fired, no matter what the interim coach did, like, unless he blew everyone out of the water and they went 40-15 instead of 40-18 or 18-40, like, maybe he would definitely be considered. But, like, after that or any other scenario but that, it's so hard to put blame or credit to J.B. Bickerstaff. But, like, I don't see the need to limit our search to just one person. It feels like I'm just, based off zero reporting whatsoever, just have a feeling that Grizzlies are kind of honed in on J.B. Bickerstaff, and they might not even look at other assistant coaches. They want to seem like they have some sort of stability. Can't just keep having another interim new coach, fire that interim new coach, and just they just want to appear more legitimate. I think J.B. Bickerstaff, like, I understand the thinking behind keeping him, but he also didn't do that great with Houston. He took over a team from Kevin McHale that went to the Western Conference Finals the year before. And granted, James Harden and Dwight Howard were pretty bad that year, but James Harden and Dwight Howard are a lot better than anyone on this Memphis team is now. So I just don't think that J.B. Bickerstaff, while he hasn't done anything to say, like, oh, yeah, like, get him away from this team, I also, like, he's not really that impressive as a candidate. Like, it's not going to really inspire a lot of confidence going into next year if we just run it back with Bickerstaff when there are plenty of, like, Spurs assistants that grow on trees or Heat assistants we could poach again. Yeah, I'm just worried about either making an extremely safe choice or them trying to make an extremely sexy choice by going with, like, Jeff Van Gundy or Mark Jackson, which would be horrible.
Or Jason Kidd or something like that. And I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying nothing I would put past this organization at this point. Brandon, same kind of question to you. And to Ross's point, I wrote about in my article the problem with J.B. Bickerstaff is, he, as we were talking about earlier in the show, he's essentially going to have the same team back. You know, Mike Conley obviously should be a big change and big difference maker. You have guys potentially playing in the roles they're supposed to play in, which would be nice to see. But this is still relatively, because of the cap situation, aside from the mid-level exception, which, again, you're planning on using on Tyreek Evans. Maybe you have another exception that you're able to fit under the luxury tax. And your first-round pick and your second-round pick. Those are three players you're going to add. At least one of them isn't going to be much of a factor, that second-rounder, unless you hit another home run like you did with Dylan Brooks. And you're in a spot where it's essentially the same roster, just a year older. How much confidence do you have in J.B. Bickerstaff leading this team?
I mean, I like what he's done with the roster. I think some of the issues that Fizdale had, some of the mistakes that he made, not giving players consistent minutes outside of James Ennis, who no one seems to know what to do with. Like, Andrew Harrison would disappear for nights because he didn't seem like he had Fizdale's confidence. When Bickerstaff took over, he's kind of, you know, fixed those issues. And so I like a little bit of what he's done with the player development side. I like how he's handled the situation, because this really isn't a good situation. You talk about you can't necessarily judge him off of wins and losses to a point. I also wonder how much of his hands are tied in terms of if the front office is really kind of, you know, pushing in toward the tanking. You know, they started Ben McLemore last night. They're playing him a lot. How much, if he's in a competitive situation, is Bickerstaff not playing McLemore because he's bad? I mean, you don't really know. There's some sort of situational unclarity going on in terms of, like, you know, what he's been, what his instructions are from the front office and what they're saying in terms of the team goals right now. I like him. I also think I was not thrilled with him taking over the interim position because of what Ross talked about, the Houston situation. He had to deal with a tough situation there as well, just because, I mean, Dwight Howard and James Harden just hated each other. And so he hasn't had to deal with that here, but he's kind of inherited another mess. But outside of, you know, some of the, like, Memphis has made it very clear that they're not going to pay head coaches. They've done this with Jaeger. They didn't pay him too much. Fizdale was a young guy, so they didn't have to pay him a lot. Lionel Hollins, they didn't renew his contract after he had taken the team to the playoffs. They're pretty cheap when it comes to coaches. So I don't necessarily see them trying to go and make a splash hire. I think that kind of – because of that, I think you kind of – that kind of favors JB, in that I don't necessarily think that they're going to have to break the bank to get him. And I don't necessarily think that they're going to want to take a chance on another, you know, Fizdale situation, whether it's one of the Spurs assistants or one of the Heat assistants. So I like JB. I like how he's handled the situation. I still have questions about his coaching ability and what he'd do with the roster if there were no constraints and he were given more free reign. But I wouldn't be disappointed if he were to take over the job at the end of the season. Like, that's not going to be something that I'm upset about going into next year. Just no Jason Kidd, please.
No Jason Kidd. I think I'm with you on that as well. When you look at, like you guys mentioned, the Spurs assistants like Becky Hammon or somebody like that. Obviously, there's been others up and down that bench that under the wing of Popovich, certainly worth looking at. But you're not going to bring in a superstar coach. J.B. Bickerstaff, I think, has earned his keep. He's earned an opportunity. He chose to remove his name from consideration for the Houston Rockets to be with Fizdale, and I lean towards giving him the opportunity at this point because, again, I'm a coach myself on a much smaller scale. I have empathy for him. He's in an extremely difficult situation. I think that the biggest compliment you can give Bickerstaff, if you're going to critique Fizdale for not getting Mark to buy in, Mark is much more active as a leader, as a teacher on the floor than I have ever seen him. Even in a lost season, you could see the effort he was giving last night. And it's been relatively consistent. Now, you can critique his defense, of course, and I think that there is something to that. I think he's lost a step a little bit, and he's not the player that he was, especially on that end. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind almost everybody is playing outside of their ideal role. Like, Marc Gasol should not be the absolute best player without a question on the floor for the Grizzlies at this point. That's going to be resulting in a bad team. JaMychal Green being the second best player, that's going to result in a bad team. You can argue Dylan Brooks shouldn't be a starter on a team in the NBA right now. He could be a reserve player, but him as a starter, that probably means you're going to be a bad team. Same thing with Andrew Harrison. Certainly the same thing with Ben McLemore. Up and down the list, even when Tyreke Evans was a starter on a good team, if he had been traded to Boston or Cleveland or somebody in that playoff mix, he would have been the sixth man. So he's not in an ideal role for him at this stage in his career. So you have a whole bunch of bad situations, and Mark is still out there trying to lead and trying to help these young players, more so than I've ever noticed, at least, and I've been watching this team for 7 years now. So I do give... If you're going to critique Fizdale for that, I think you have to give Bickerstaff credit for that. At the same time, there hasn't been a united improvement. So I think both sides of the argument have a decent argument to make. I think that the easiest thing to do is to bring him back. I think he's earned an opportunity, maybe a 2 or 3 year deal to see what he can do as that head guy and go from there. You know, just give him a chance to be free of that tension and see what he can do when it's truly his show, because he's still kind of dealing with the scraps of what remained of the David Fizdale era. We're finishing up here with Ross Gerard of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, senior writer for us over at GBB. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at ASAP Rocky Top. All right, guys, between now and the next time we are on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, there are going to be 4 games, the Nuggets at the Magic, which will be another Tankapalooza quality game, at the San Antonio Spurs on Monday, and then at Chicago, another tanking game on the 7th. We'll be back on the 8th that Thursday. So 4 games, 3 on the road, 1 at home, obviously Friday night. The Grizzlies have lost 11 straight. Ross, I'll start with you. The next time Brandon and I are on these airwaves, are the Grizzlies going to be looking down the barrel of a 15-game losing streak, or are they going to win one of these next 4? Hello, Ross.
Yep, I muted myself because I'm a technology savant.
So am I. Okay, you're all good. 15-game losing streak, or are we gonna get a win here in the next week?
Yeah, I don't. They have no reason to ever win a game, but I think they're definitely just gonna fall backwards into a win against Orlando or Chicago. Like, Chicago's been very up and down this year, even though their winning percentage is about like 33. Seems like they have to go on 7-game win streaks or 10-game losing streaks. And Orlando has gotten awful. So, like, you got to think if Tyreke or Sheldon or Parsons, if anyone comes back, they might get a win against one of those teams. But the Spurs game, they might lose by 35.
Yeah, I would say at best they'd be 2-2, and that's probably being unrealistic. 1-3, I think, is the move as well. I'm not sure which one, Orlando or Chicago. I'm kind of leaning towards Orlando being the one that they win. What do you think, Brandon? Are we looking at a 15-game losing streak next week, or are they pulling out a win this week?
Yeah, I think they beat the Magic. The Magic have been, you know, pretty committed to the tank. The Bulls are a lot better when Nikola Mirotic plays and he's not there anymore. So I think there's a chance they could win that one. But I've clearly underestimated the Grizzlies. Like, we went into that game against the Suns last night, and I said, you know, the Grizzlies had lost two to the Suns, but the Suns had caught them, you know, at the worst part of their season when they were just in a nosedive. They were both on the road. It was a long road trip. And so I was like, I kind of talked myself into they should easily beat the Suns, and then that turned out to not be true. So, you know, the Grizzlies might be way worse than I even expected. Or I guess it all – I say all of these games depend on how much Ben McLemore plays.
Isn't it funny that he is truly the key to the Memphis Grizzlies season the rest of the way? That's kind of depressing when you think about it. But anyway, Ross, thank you so much for joining us here. It's been a pretty dark and depressing season in a lot of ways as it is. Hopefully it ends with a pot of gold at the end, a nice draft pick, and the Grizzlies can begin a long, more than likely, rebuilding process. We're excited to have you on board with us over at GBB for all the fun. Ross, thank you so much for your time, buddy. We'll have you back on down the road.
Thank you,
Ross.
Guys. This was a lot of fun. Yep.
Hey, Ross.
Right.
Ross,
there
before
he goes.
You head out.
Oh, please, Brandon, go.
You still there, Ross?
Yep.
Okay. Ross does, for those of you who don't know, Ross does a weekly column, the Weak Side Help, which is probably one of my favorite, is probably my favorite article series that we have right now. But you've done a great job of keeping up with the tank race. So, and you've done some of the sort of short scouting reports on some of the potential draft picks that the Grizzlies could be looking to land. Do you have a favorite right now that you'd like for them to wind up with in the draft?
For me, it's definitely DeAndre Ayton and then everybody else. I understand the Luka Doncic love. I just have no idea how to scout for in basketball. Like, even though I know
slow.
The professional league. Yeah, he does. And, like, I mean, so is Marc Gasol. Like, Tyreke Evans is a blazing fast speed demon. Like, you don't need to be super fast if you can pass as well as he can and score as well as he can. But DeAndre Ayton looks like the real deal. He's already 7'1", 260. As an 18, 19-year-old, I would do everything for DeAndre Ayton, or if we fall back into the draft, Michael Bridges from Villanova. He feels a lot like Donovan Mitchell to me. I don't know if he's that good of a scorer, but he seems like prototypical 3-and-D. He has a huge wingspan. He's great at defense, swipes a lot of steals, and shoots very well from three. It's those two I would like the most, and everyone else is just a crapshoot, I think.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
Thank you, Ross.
Yep. See you guys.
There he goes, Ross Girard. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at ASAP Rocky Top. Great follow, great writer over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Brandon's exactly right, the Weak Side Help. Every week on Mondays, make sure you're checking that weekly column out from Ross. It's good stuff, especially as Memphis continues their trudge towards the tank. It'll be interesting to see how things play out, and Ross keeps track of it, so you don't have to, over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. We're finishing up here on GBB Live. I am one of your co-hosts, Joe Molinax, joined by Brandon Connor, as always. It's time for our random ticket giveaway. The only thing that folks needed to do to earn these tickets on this night and on this week's show was tweet a reply at the Grizzly Bear Blues live question of the day. Literally takes 10 seconds. I didn't even ask for people to follow the account, Brandon. I just said you just got to tweet. And again, maybe it's the apathy of the season. We've gotten better replies for just random polls in the past than this one, and that's okay. We got enough, and we have enough to make it an interesting draw. And I do want to congratulate Scott McCullough at King53. We will be in touch with you here in the next 30 minutes or so. We'll get your email. We will send you the tickets. You're going to Grizzlies Nuggets on Friday night, which should be a reward. Maybe some people are viewing it as a punishment from us at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, Brandon. We're trying to give away tickets, trying to help you all out and go enjoy a Grizzlies game. Go support the team. Watch the young players develop and see how things continue to play out. And against the Nuggets, at least you get to see, I'm guessing Jokic isn't injured, so you can go see the Joker. That'll be pretty cool. He's a pretty good basketball player. He'll be the best player on the floor in Memphis on Friday night. So congratulations. You are heading to Grizzlies Nuggets. Scott McCullough at BKing53. Thanks for tweeting. Thanks for listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. And we will get you those tickets here shortly. We're finishing up here again on the show. Next week, March 8th, we will be back with an all-new podcast taking a look at the four games that just happened. We'll start breaking down some of those younger college players like Brandon talked about with Ross. It's almost time to start looking ahead. The Grizzlies only have about 20-ish games left on their schedule, and obviously no playoffs this year, so our playoff break will be a little bit longer than we're used to. But at the same time, looking to the future, that's something that can help get us through here. You listening to the podcast helps get me through. I can tell you that. And being here with Brandon helps get me through as well. Thank you so much to Brandon, my wonderful co-host. Thanks to Ross, our great guest. Thanks to you for listening to the show and for going to GrizzlyBearBlues.com and making us a small part of your Memphis Grizzlies fan experience. For Brandon, I'm Joe. We will see you guys next week. Until then, grind forth, Grizz Nation. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.